Hey folks, this is Myron from the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast. I am joined today by Alan Angels. He's got a show he wants to tell us about.
What's up, y'all? Alan Angels here, and if you don't know already, you should know, Janie Strong Benefit Show, October 1st, going to be at the Landmark Arena. It's for a beautiful young lady named Janie Mitchell. It's a benefit show just to benefit her, to get her to get through her treatments for pediatric cancer, and you should definitely come. Main events, AR Fox, Darby Allin. We also have a fatal four-way between AC Mack, Anthony Henry, Chip Day, and Fred Yehi. If you're not coming, please, please, please make sure you get there.
You heard it there, folks. It's going to be an incredible show, and it's a great card going for a great cause. Thanks. Hey folks, this is Myron from the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast. Tonight I am joined by Barrington Hughes. Interesting gentleman. How you doing tonight, Mr. Hughes?
Not too bad. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Now, you don't go by the Mr. Hughes that was in wrestling when I was a kid. Are you go by Barrington or
similar namesake? From Mr. Hughes, the big enforcer role, because that's actually how I started. But Barrington is a tribute to my grandfather.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's cool. So you've been wrestling, what, like 6 or 7 years now?
I just made 6 years this month on the 11th, on the 10th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you've been around. You work mainly in Florida?
Yes, I'm based out of Miami, Florida. Mostly worked South Central Florida, a little bit of North Florida, Georgia. Dabble in a bit of work in the Carolinas.
Oh, cool. Yeah, who have you worked for here in Georgia?
In Georgia, I worked for Georgia Wrestling Extreme with Jerry Stevens. Excellent guy to work for.
Cool.
And that's for the most part. And Tri-State Wrestling Alliance in Dalton, Georgia, but that was years ago.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're still running.
We
got into the independent scene. We've not even been into it a year now, and it's so much stuff going on. It's so many names and everything. It's awesome. You know, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, is my opinion.
Absolutely.
So, what made you get into the wrestling business?
Again, you know, my whole name tick is from my grandfather. He was the one that really introduced me to wrestling. Spending the summer up there with him in New York, he was always watching WWF television, watched Monday Night Raw, and just remember, you know, we would go to a little restaurant and it'd be on TV, and we'd watch it and spend time together.
Yeah, that's nice. That's awesome, man. So your grandfather was a big influence in your life?
Absolutely. He's pretty much my father.
Awesome. My grandfather was the same way for me. He was my father figure, and he was such a good influence.
Absolutely. You need those in your life, you know?
Yeah, you do. I have to agree 100%. So you watched wrestling as a kid. You liked it. Did you decide to go into it full time, or did you find a school? How'd you get started?
Well, I didn't start until actually I was 24, of course, being around 4 or 6 years and trained for a year prior. I found out local Florida legend Rusty Brooks had his own school.
Uh-huh.
My girlfriend, who's still my girlfriend now, she actually introduced me to the school, got me in touch with Rusty, and everything just took off from there.
Cool. So you started attending this school, you trained for a year.
Yes.
So by the time you were ready to get in the ring, you knew what you're doing. You kind of had a grip on things. So you weren't raw.
No, I wasn't. No, not at all. I mean, I was still very in my formative, you know, stage, because first time being in front of a crowd, first time performing, all these things that you drill and you prepare for, and you'll still screw up. So.
Oh, I can imagine. I've never been in a ring. But I'm not one of those people that think they can.
Thank you. We appreciate people like you.
Because, I mean, I know I can't do it, and I respect the hell out of the guys that do it, because y'all give me so much entertainment.
Thank you. And that's what it's all about, man. It's all about making sure that good folks like you and, you know, your family that come out to the shows are thoroughly entertained.
Yes. I love a good independent show. I love a good independent show because it's... we went to one last night that was awesome, where they'd been working on storylines and everybody had to, like a whole plan going through the show. So they had everything worked out. That's so awesome.
It's a beautiful thing, because those are men and women that are true, and they love their craft. They love what they do. You know, it's not always about the money, because you don't get the best money in the industry. You know, especially when you're, you know, you don't have that much of a reputation, or you don't have that much of a name, or even don't have the intention of taking it to that quote unquote next level.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing it because you love it. It's like doing community theater or doing a pottery class in the local YMCA or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, I get exactly what you're saying. It's like the podcast is for me. This is what I enjoy doing.
Exactly. And for that, you don't have to be paid for it. It's your passion, it's your love.
Yep. So have you worked? I know you've worked with a guy I recognize the name of, Francisco Ciazzo. I never can say that right. I saw that name.
Yes, Francisco Ciazzo was very instrumental in helping me break into Central Florida, bringing me up, giving me opportunities to work with his partner's promotions at the time. And I'm really grateful to him. So. Good dude.
I've only seen him. I've never met him. I've seen him wrestle several times, and he seems like a really solid competitor.
Absolutely. Solid competitor. And for him to have so much time into wrestling and take the time to get himself into quite possibly the best shape of his life, took a ridiculous amount of dedication, a ridiculous amount of sacrifice, and has fully earned my respect because of that. Because now, at almost 20 years in, he looks better than he did from year one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to watch some matches. I was preparing a little video for a friend of the show, O'Shea Edwards, and I watched the match with Ciazzo, and he was perfect, you know?
Yeah, O'Shea, I have nothing bad to say about O'Shea. O'Shea is phenomenal in the ring.
Oh, yeah, phenomenal. I love the guy.
Exactly, and similar to me, he's a guy that's larger in stature that understands, you know, what it takes. Is, you know, the days of the monsters aren't really prevalent anymore. You know, you still have to be entertaining. He's extremely entertaining. I'm extremely entertaining as well as being athletic, just like O'Shea. I love him.
Yeah, he's a guy that if I can get to a show, because he's up here most of the time, and if I can get to a show he's at, I make a point to get there.
Absolutely.
And so you do the talk, you do the promos like O'Shea does? Yeah.
Yes and no. He's more of a talker. I'm more, I'm not going to say I don't take it as serious, but I take a bit more comedic approach to the promo.
Uh-huh. What's the nickname I read? You're the MILF's favorite wrestler, or?
Oh, I have several. It's MILF's favorite wrestler, the Candy Coated Colossus, the Caramel Kodiak, the, exactly. I have tons. but for the sake of argument, yeah, Mill's favorite wrestler was just me and my partner BJ. We were in the car one day, and we had Oreos in the car, of course. Uh-huh. And he looked at the rapper. He's like, yo, why not try this? And we did it at a show one night. It just stuck.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So you're able to get the crowds just, you know, into the show?
I try to. I definitely try to. I make it my business to be the loudest one out there, you know.
Uh-huh.
If the crowd's not into a show, I'm going to do my damnedest to make sure that you are entertained and brought into my world by the time it's all said and done.
Cool. So when you work, you were training for Rusty Brooks. Does he have a promotion there in Florida?
No, he did at one point, but by the time I did, it was just the school. But uh-huh. He was closely associated with ICW in Miami, to a lesser degree, Coastal Championship Wrestling. They're more their own entity, uh-huh. But he did have a loose association with them at one point. And there are a few others sporadically that popped up here and there.
Cool. So you've gotten a lot of work from what I've seen online. You've worked in a lot of different federations.
I've tried to. I love to travel. You know, being in wrestling gave me the opportunity to be on the road more than I've ever been as a child. Or, you know, my family didn't travel a lot. You know,
yeah.
We did a few road trips. Did, you know, we went to the Bahamas once or twice. Blessed, you know, which is a blessing. But almost any any given weekend, I could be in Northern Florida, in Georgia, in Philly, in North Carolina, just because of my love and passion for wrestling.
Mm-hmm. That's super cool. Now, I'm a large man myself. I'm over 400 pounds. So, what do you drive, man? What do you travel in for comfort?
Honestly, for comfort, I have an Altima. I mean, it's a larger sedan. It's great gas, and that's pretty much what I drive.
Oh, cool, man. Cool. Yeah, I got a Hyundai Sonata, and I love the sedan thing. You got plenty of room in it. You know, you get your good mileage, and especially with you traveling all the time. I know mileage has got to be insane.
Absolutely. You're putting those miles on your car and the tires and the parts. So you got to be comfortable if you're going to be on the road for six, seven, eight, 9 hours.
Uh-huh. I can imagine. Because after a few hours, I'm ready to get out of the car. I ain't going to lie.
Definitely.
So, do you get your gear? Do you have, who makes your gear in the big size?
Oh, funny that you asked that. I make gear. I make my own gear. My first couple of years, I was actually introduced to the local independent scene through my artwork. I would design outfits for local wrestlers, and, you know, that's how my girlfriend found out about school and stuff like that.
And
I've designed stuff for guys that have been in New York. I've, you know, designed guys that have been on Ring of Honor television, different places.
That's really awesome.
Thank you.
Cool. So do you do like the sewing and the measuring, all that?
I do the concept art and the development of the outfits, and my partner takes care of the actual manufacturing.
Cool. My girlfriend, she got a minor in costume in college. She was a theater major, and how she knows how to cut that fabric and get it in the right proportions just eludes me.
Absolutely. You know? It's an art form. Not everybody can do it. I tried to actually sew, and no, it's not.
Now, did you have an art background before you got into this?
Yes. Mostly my middle school years, my elementary and middle school years, I was in the magnet program for art, 2D, 3D art.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, our classes would have art shows at the local colleges and things like that. And it was really cool, you know. So I did a lot of that stuff. Got in high school, did started doing more practical things. Found out I had a love for cooking through home ec, and had a talent for working on cars. I didn't make it a career, but I, you know, learned my way around a car through auto shop.
Yeah. I wish I could have gone to a school where those kind of classes were offered. I went to a small school in Alabama, and no opportunities like that were around.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so you got good at cooking? Did you ever cook for a living?
No, I did work. I worked in a few restaurants. I worked in Tony Roma's, and I worked in Red Lobster mostly. I worked on the line, did a little bit of line cooking, but I started off as a, you know, doing the busboy thing or doing the dishwasher. Washer thing, you know, you work your way up.
And so what made you decide one day you're sitting there at Red Lobster and you say, I'm going to go to wrestling school. What was the impetus for all that?
Well, there's several years in between that and that. I worked in a restaurant in my early 20s. I was talking to my grandfather. We can start from the talk to my first day of wrestling school, so about a 3 month gap. So my grandfather called me into his room one day because I would spend the weekends at my mother's house. She'd take care of him, and I would stay with him, you know, if she's out of town or something like that. My granddad.
Yeah.
I'm over there, and we're talking. I sit on the edge of his bed. He's a dual amputee. He suffered from diabetes, and we're talking.
Yeah.
And he says, son, don't ever do something in your life and regret it. Regret the things in life that you don't.
And wow.
I didn't get what he meant when he said that. You know, I'm like, what do you mean, Dad? I go, Pop. I used to call him Pop. He's like, just live your life. Do what makes you happy, because you never know when it'll be over. All right.
That's amazing advice.
Absolutely. And 5 days later, he passed away quietly in his sleep.
Oh, man.
there, I'd say about roughly three and a half months later, I had been going to local shows and helping out, you know, setting up the rings and stuff like that before I even went to a wrestling school. And then some of the local guys told my girl where it was located. We went over there on a Sunday morning in December and started training. Well, I did. She never.
It's good to have a girlfriend that's interested in the wrestling business, because my girlfriend is not. And I get the, are you doing wrestling again? You going to wrestling again?
You know, but we never think about them.
Hmm? She's been real supportive for all this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great, man.
She's awesome. She's, you know, she wouldn't have, if she wasn't supportive, she wouldn't help me find the school to begin with.
Cool.
She's extremely supportive.
Good, good. So you've developed this persona, and you've got this character working. Where did you draw inspiration for a lot of this?
Honestly, this whole character is just basically me from ages 17 to 19. You know, just being wild, rambunctious, and not really caring what a lot of people said. I wasn't, you know, a troublemaker in the traditional sense of running into the law. It was more of, I'm going to flirt with as many older women as I can to see what'll happen.
That's awesome, man.
That's awesome. Pretty much it. It's just me thinking I'm the greatest thing on the planet, you know, despite my look, and you're going to want me because of my confidence.
That is pretty epic, because once I finally got my confidence being a large man, I was able to get a lot better women than I ever thought I would be able to.
Exactly.
Because it's all about confidence.
Exactly. It's, you know, the appearance is one thing, and then, you know, us being larger guys, our health is a factor, of course. But not being able to look someone directly in your eyes to tell them exactly how you think you feel is game-breaking.
Solid, man. Solid. Now, who was your favorite wrestler, though, when you were growing up?
I had a couple. First one, number one, always going to be Razor Ramon. Because...
Ooh.
You know, he was from Miami. He was super cool. He had the personality, you know, influenced from Scarface. You know, I love, I seen Scarface older, and then I got the reference and the connection, and I loved him even more for it. Mostly Razor Ramon, Ron Simmons, and then when I got into wrestling and started studying more, Gary Albright.
Now, I'm not really super familiar with that name. Who is Gary Albright?
Gary Albright was a member of the Anoa'i dynasty. He married into the family.
Okay.
And he graduated from the University of Nebraska as an Olympic collegiate wrestler. He went over to Japan. He wrestled in All Japan Pro Wrestling. He wrestled in the UWFI, which is now a defunct shoot fight / wrestling promotion. And he was just absolutely, the things he was be able to do at his size, he was the original Suplex City. Everybody talks about Lesnar being Suplex City. Gary is the original founder of Suplex City.
Well, cool, man. That's cool. You got to find an inspiration. You got to work with somebody. You got to figure, you know, get your inspiration out of it.
A lot of my mentors are people I look up to. Fred Ottman, Uncle Fred, is somebody that's, you know, he's a Florida guy, and I didn't realize that until I broke in. And, you know, he's a good mentor to me. He's somebody I can always reach out to and talk to.
You get to see Fred Ottman? I mean, that's a big name.
Absolutely, and he's always been a great mentor to me. He's fantastic. You know, it's never been a time where if I had a question or, you know, just to check on him, just to say hi, you know, I've always been all away.
Oh, that's great, man. I know I've got a female wrestling friend in Florida, Kiko. She talks about her wrestling moms. And it sounds like you got a pretty big wrestling dad down there, you know?
Absolutely, my wrestling uncle.
How did you meet Fred?
Actually, through social media. I had just broken in about 6 months, and I happened to see his name in a group that I was in of mutual friends, and I reached out to him. I let him know who I was, and he was like, here's my number. Get me involved.
Wow. So he must be a really nice guy then.
Awesome guy. Love him to death.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah.
I believe he's going to be. He runs what?
He actually runs a school in Tampa now as well.
Uh-huh.
The Legendary Professional Wrestling Academy in Tampa. He has that there, so he's actually bringing up his next group of young grapplers now.
Oh, cool. Cool. So have you worked for, and do they do any promotional stuff, or do they just have a school there?
They do. No, I've worked a couple of Legendary shows. Had the honor of working the D. Malenko Cup, which is an event that's hosted in Tampa every year in honor of Boris the Great Malenko,
yes.
Father of Dean, you know, Boris and Joe and Dean Malenko, excuse me. Yeah,
cool.
I had the chance to do that. Did a few more events after that as well.
So they've got an event down there to honor the Great Malenko, and that's one of the biggest names in wrestling history, man. That's cool. That's cool. You don't hear about a lot of these shows until you start following social media. And you've mentioned social media was how you met Fred Ottman, and you have a very good social media presence.
Yeah, I try to. I have my Facebook, I have my Snapchat, my Twitter, my Instagram. You know, I try to stay in touch as much as possible.
Is you interact with fans a lot, or
sometimes, you know, if I post a live Q&A or you know, I'm answering, you know, certain questions anonymously, things like that, it's pretty cool to do. If anyone just drops a line and says hi, I'll say hi back.
Yeah, cool. Well, where they can find you on these social media outlets?
Well, find me on Facebook at Barrington Hughes Wrestling, Instagram Be Real Hughesy Poo, H-U-T-H. Sypoo.
Uh-huh.
On Twitter, as you found me, Myron. Hughesy Poo. Snapchat, mm-hmm. Hughesy-Poo. Where else? My shirts. www.prowrestlingtees.com/BeHughesTees.
Uh-huh.
Buy a shirt. Support your local grappler.
Yep.
And, yeah, I think that's everything. And on YouTube, search Barrington Hughes.
I love Pro Wrestling Tees because they've got shirts in 5X. And I can get all the great shirts, man.
Exactly. You can find, you know, any shirt you're looking for. If there's a star that you want to support, mm-hmm. you can get it in your size.
And we have a shop there, and they are very good to work with.
Yeah, definitely. I have no complaints about them.
Really they good. Pay out quick. You know, it's been a good thing for us. You know, we don't sell as many shirts as wrestlers, but it's kind of an ego thing to have shirts out there, you know?
It never hurts. You never know who wants to support your dream, you know?
Yes. Yes. Do you still pop when you see somebody wearing one of your shirts?
Of course. It's cool. You know, and then even if I find that account, I'll retweet the picture and, you know, show love, give them a shout out, you know, stuff like that, because they're helping fund my dreams. They're helping say, hey, we believe in you guys. You know, here's our way of showing our appreciation for what you do.
Now, where do you see your dream taking you?
You know, I know everybody says, you know, they want to be in WWE, and that's great for them. Honestly, I want to be in Japan. I want to.
I get that more than WWE.
Really?
Yes. From interviewing guys and talking to them, I want to go to Japan more than I want to go to the WWE.
Yeah.
So what makes Japan appealing to you?
Honestly, it's respected more. You know, the events are larger scale. The art of professional wrestling is more viewed and skewed as a sport. It's covered as such. It's respected as such. The performers are taken care of, or more taken care of. They're not looked at as, oh, you're just a wrestler, or, oh, you're just that guy. You know, they respect everything you do and everything you do for them, and they show the appreciation back. It's more of a cultural thing.
Yeah. But when I watch some Japanese wrestling, I don't really get it because it's not as promo heavy and it's as gimmicky as the WWE.
Right. With Japanese wrestling, there's only one story being told, and that's to say that you are the best.
Uh-huh.
So when you're able to kick out of certain finishers 1, 2, 3 times, it's showing that you have this, what they call fighting spirit. You know, that you're going to fight amongst your opponent's best shots and still be victorious. It's like you're waging war every time you step foot in a ring.
See, that's the thing. I really need to understand the Japanese wrestling more because I've had trouble, like, understanding watching it. And how that works and how it's scripted and all that. Because, like you, I've been watching the WWE since I was a child.
Mm-hmm. And it's so just, we're tailored to that style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like if you go and watch Lucha Libre, you watch, you know, AAA or CMLL, you know, the match structure is again, different.
Uh-huh.
How they transition into different parts of the story is different. So for that, you know, for you, Myron, not saying that it happens, but you could get lost in translation. You can't get
I think you're 100% right. Yes.
Yeah, from that formula. So I think if you watch enough of it or you have somebody that really understands it, like in Eric Chomsky, hi, Eric, you know, that runs Facebook groups that understand the culture of Japanese professional wrestling, or Roy Lucier, hi, Roy.
Shout them out, man.
Exactly. Love those guys, man. They have really great content and provide great information for those fans of Japanese pro wrestling that don't have access to it like that. You know, they understand the culture and how the stories are being told.
Now, do you like the Japanese culture? Are you fascinated with it like a lot of people are?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's totally different from what we do here. It's okay, I like the experience for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, are you into the manga and the anime and that kind of stuff as far as your artwork goes?
I am. Cool. Love anime, love manga. I don't read as many mangas, but I mostly watch anime.
Because mm-hmm. my daughter is into that stuff, and it's like, I'm a comic book guy. Mm-hmm. But you read comic books the opposite direction.
Right. And it's just, they're the same stories being told. It's just the direction of the books.
Uh-huh.
And they read from right to left. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the same story that they're telling.
Yeah. I've had the worst time trying to relate to her about that. I've tried. It's just not in my wheelhouse. I know what they're doing, and I know it's the same type storylines, the heroes, mm-hmm. the villains, the epic struggles. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my barrier is.
It could be the way you have to read manga. You literally have to go from right to left and then back across right to left. It's just the direct. You're reprogramming your brain to go in the opposite direction it's been trained to go.
Uh-huh.
You know, cool. So we read our book left to right and turn pages left to right, and in Japan it's the opposite.
You know, the oddest thing that I have noticed, and if this is offensive, I'm not quite sure. But you look at Keith Lee, and he's got Pokemon on his tights. Or you look at O'Shea, and he's got Japanese stuff on his tights. You look at Trevor Eon, and he's super into the Japanese. The African-American community in wrestling tends to embrace the Japanese anime scene very readily.
Yeah, and it's nothing offensive. It's just we all grew up watching those Channel 5 Kung Fu movies. Uh-huh. You know, if I could speak for Keith, I could speak for O'Shea. And speak for Trevor, we all grew up watching Kung Fu and Bruce Lee movies.
Yeah.
And to the Wu-Tang and the Five Deadly Venoms. So we've always been fascinated with that fight culture and that fight.
Yeah.
And then you delve into more of the traditional culture beyond the movie. Uh-huh. And you're like, oh, man, this is really cool. So that's usually how that works.
Yeah, because, I mean, when I first got into watching wrestling, I'm like, what the hell does Keith Lee have a Pokemon in his tights for? But I wasn't about to ask Keith Lee.
Right.
Because he fell on me at an Evolve event, and I you know, almost defecated.
That's
almost
a whole lot being the fall on you, man. You all right?
Thank God he caught his knees first, and just his hands landed on me to steady himself. Because
exactly, it's a big, hell of an athlete.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So, where do you see yourself wrestling these guys? Do you have a favorite opponent you want to go after, or do you have a dream match?
You know what? I can't honestly say I do. Tomohiro Ishii. A Japanese guy.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Stone Pit Bull of Chaos. He and his hard-hitting style, it's
Is that the guy with the blonde hair and the chain around his neck?
No. That's Kazuchika Okada.
Okay.
Tomohiro Ishii wears the black shorts with the really short cut, stocky neck dude. Really hard-headed guy.
Hmm. They're very stiff in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Certain guys. Some guys are, some guys aren't. Just like here. Some guys like for, you know, they like to work a little bit more snug. Some a little bit more light. It's just their personal preference.
Gotcha. So, if your dream match is with a Japanese, a big Japanese guy right now, and I get a lot of feedback about guys and that who they want to wrestle, where they want to go, and Japan is very it's to me, I wrote an editorial for Kayfabe today about Japan and how I would like to understand it. But there's just not, I entitled it, Everybody Wants to Go to Japan But Me. Because it's a big cultural thing. And I don't know, I just don't know where I was left out. You know, maybe I'm, you know, older and it wasn't in the wheelhouse when I was younger. Quite
a lot of guys, man, like the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, you had a lot of tape trading.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's how I got into Japanese wrestling. I had a buddy at high school. He was like, hey, I got these, you know, you like wrestling? I'm like, yeah. So he has these tapes of these Japanese death matches and these Japanese junior heavyweight matches. He's like, check this stuff out. And that's how I got introduced to Japanese wrestling.
Cool. The tape trading community is a very, you know, those are the wrestling fans that, when you didn't have wrestling available, you went out and found it, and you got to see stuff other people weren't seeing. And I always love listening to podcasts when they talk about that.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. You know, if you weren't in that tape trading community, you don't know about it now.
Uh-huh. So do you get, in Florida, do you get New Japan and All Japan on television there?
Not All Japan, but New Japan does have a show on Access TV, and I do get to, you know, watch it when I'm home and I have some downtime because I record it. And I watch back some of the events that they did either earlier in the year or a couple of years ago, and it's good to see that different type of wrestling on television.
Now, as far as the American commentary on that goes, do they get it, or is it?
Absolutely. It's not a mockery. It's they understand the culture and they understand the sport. And they understand the stories being told. You know, the English commentary, and it actually helps those that are casual fans.
Gotcha. Who is JR actually, is he the guy to listen to for commentary? Is he the best American commentator, or is someone else does a better job?
I would say of all time, Jim Ross is the best American commentator ever. Under him, I give Gordon Solie. And then under him, I go Mauro Ranallo. Even though Mauro Ranallo is Canadian, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt and put him in.
You know, man, we did the same thing. We did a wrestling commentator competition on the podcast a while back, and Jim Ross also finished first. Second was Bobby Heenan, though. I love Gordon Solie, though. God, I love Gordon Solie.
Gordon, he presented it as like you're watching the Olympics, and I love that.
Yeah, he was so technical, and even if some of the terms he used were not exactly scientific as far as the body parts, he made you think you were watching a competition.
Exactly, that's where I get the terminology "souplet" from. You know, from
souplet. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I call my little things, my matches, souplet soirees.
So souplet soirees. I'm gonna have to write that one down, man. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Got to figure out how to spell soiree off the top of my head without thinking about it. Yeah, but Gordon was on Continental and Southeastern when I was a kid in Alabama.
Okay.
I saw a lot of him. I saw his partner, Charlie Platt, like a month ago at a show in South Georgia, and I just went up to him and said, thank you, sir. Thank you so much for what you did for my childhood. It was nice. You know, Charlie and Gordon did the I'd Like to Talk to Tom angle where the dirty white boy choked Tom Pritchard.
Okay.
And that was one of the biggest angles, you know, in the world there for so long. So now you got to see what, some championship wrestling from Florida?
Yeah, I mean, you can always YouTube the stuff, and I saw a lot of the championship wrestling from Florida, like, stuff like that, and that's how I was interested in watching Ray Kennedy and Bob Roop and those guys.
Yes, yes. Now, YouTube is such a great way to find wrestling. It's a shame that the way they monetize it now, and they've cracked down on wrestling content.
Yeah, they say it's offensive content, you know, because of, you know, we know as well as anyone, you know, there's a lot of good wrestling out there, there's a lot of bad wrestling out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean bad as in, well, of course I mean bad as in untrained or undertrained individuals, but just the spectacle of, not deathmatch wrestling, but just, you know, doing all kinds of craziness and then putting it under the mantle of wrestling. Mm-hmm. Once you get associated with something of that negative of a nature, the whole thing gets split up in this. You know, you get caught in the dope wave, and there's not much you can do about it.
I agree with you 100% on that. There is a lot of wrestling promotions that I would take both my kids to without even thinking. And there's some that have more of an adult tent that I really enjoy, but I wouldn't take my kids to because it's still a little salty for them, you know?
A little blue. It's a little blue. Yeah. But see, you're showing that parental discernment, that intelligence and that wisdom being a parent to say, hey, maybe this isn't so good for my kids.
Yeah, I mean? Yeah, and just because it's not good for my kids doesn't mean I can't enjoy it. You know?
Right.
Because I can't be that guy that I don't want to be the cool dad, in parentheses, where I let them see anything, but still, you know.
Right.
We get out and hit a lot of local promotions.
Exactly.
My stepson, his father passed away when he was five. So me and my stepson have got to go to, we've bonded over wrestling. And we've become a very, very tight unit, watching wrestling together and going to promotions together. And we never had anything in common until then.
Right.
And it's been so good for us. I see what you're saying about your grandfather watching wrestling with him. Because it's been so important to me and him to get that something in common and enjoy wrestling. And I think passing that on is very important to me. It's a great business. And right now, I mean, I don't know how it is in Florida, but I'm assuming it's just like it here is in Georgia, where I could go to a show Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night every weekend of the year.
Yeah, it's very close to that down here. It just depends on the area. Miami, not so much. Friday and Saturday, not so much on a Sunday. Everybody's having mimosas and doing their breakfast brunch. But Central Florida, Tampa, Orlando, sometimes Jacksonville, depending on the day. Yeah, you'll definitely find it all weekend.
Oh, it's like I said, I can't say enough how great a time it is to be a wrestling fan. And I can imagine as an independent wrestler, because y'all have so many opportunities.
Absolutely.
How do you get your bookings? Do they come to you, or do you have to talk to certain people, or do you have a network you work with?
The best way I can explain it is finding a job is a job. You know, sometimes you just have to send your information out and follow up and follow up and follow up. It's just like the real world, you know. Just there's a job that you want. You're going to apply to that job. You're going to submit your resume. And you're going to follow, you know, the appropriate amount of time to if that position is for you or if it's not. If it's not, then you move on to another opportunity. But you always keep your ears open. You always say, you know, that's me. I pound the pavement.
Yeah. Now, have you found social media to be important to promoting yourself as far as getting bookings?
Absolutely. You know, if I have a match that I had Saturday, and it's up, you know, on a video streaming site by Sunday, and I have my promotional information underneath it, that may open up the next 3-4 weeks of bookings for me because of that one video.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys miss out on that from what I've seen so far. That it's so
some
important.
Some people just not utilize it, you know, fully. That's the problem.
it's the world is so open now with the internet everywhere and Facebook and Twitter and everything else that it's just like a smorgasbord to promote yourself. You know, just put yourself out there and people will see it. And people you wouldn't, I mean, we have listeners in, we get a huge amount of downloads in England.
Yeah.
Mind blowing for me because we're a bunch of, you know, fat guys sitting in basements in Georgia and people are listening in England. You know?
Yeah. You'd be surprised. When I would put up matches on Facebook, I would see a lot of them in Japan.
Yeah.
In England. I've even seen a couple in Iceland.
Iceland? Wow. That's cool.
Yeah,
do you have a booking email people can reach you at?
Absolutely. It's going to be bookbhughes@gmail.com.
That's a good, you got the name right there. Got a good, easy email address that people can remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Where are you going to be working coming up?
October 5th, I have a really big opportunity with Major League Wrestling. They're actually doing their one-shot event with the main event being Ricochet versus Shane.
Okay, so you've got the opportunity October 5th with Major League Wrestling. But where are you coming from now, man?
We're actually coming back from Tampa Bay Pro Wrestling. They had their event today, Go for Broke. They'll actually have their next two shows on October 8th at Saddle Up in Tampa. And then we're back at the Big Talk Convention Center October 29th.
Oh, cool. Got a show right around Halloween, man. That's going to be a good one.
It is.
So you're getting all around Florida right now, man. I love talking to wrestlers while they're on the road because you get that, really, you get that feedback and the real experience.
Exactly. Funny thing, riding back home in Florida, though, man, you'll run through waves of rain. Like, you'll literally be driving down the road, and then you see this, like, sheet. You're like, what is that? And then you drive right into a rainstorm, and then you'll drive right back out a minute later.
Yeah, I haven't driven in Florida in a long time because it's hard to get away from vacation. Even though I work for Publix, you know, which is out of Florida, I'm still all over the place. You know, I'm still stuck here in Georgia doing stuff. And now my girlfriend's out of Maryland, so we go up there a lot. So I need some more Florida trips, man. I love fishing down there.
I love it. It's beautiful, man. Especially open ocean fishing is definitely the best.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I really enjoy the deep sea fishing. I would do more of it if I possibly could, man. Because because not ever knowing what's going to be on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
When something bites is so awesome. Cool. So you're going to be, you've got booked out through the end of October. You got any more shows coming up? Where are you going to be?
Yeah, that same weekend, October 7th, I'm going to be in Auburn, Georgia for GWE, Rage in a Cage 2.
Auburn, Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
On October 7th?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to have to see about that, man, because that's right down the road from us.
Myron, you got to come out now, man. You don't have a
choice. What's the name of the promotion again?
GWE, Georgia Wrestling Extreme. Get in contact with Jerry Stevens.
Jerry Stevens. Let's see. I'm hoping I'm not working that weekend, but if I am, I can still come by after work or send my buddy Nick out. Nick is the other guy here that Nick owns and runs everything. And when I can't get a show, he goes, and he can't get a show, I go. And we love to go together because, you know, he's got his car with the logo on the back, and he writes off everything on taxes. Cool. Hey, man, I really appreciate you calling in tonight. I have had a great conversation, and I really hope I can get to meet you.
Definitely. We'll definitely see you on the road.
Definitely. Well, I hope you have a good night, and I hope you have a safe trip and get home safely. And we look forward to talking to you in the future, man.
We will, man. Thank you very much, Myron. Have a great night, man.
Thank you for coming on. You like that? You want more like it? Why don't you go to www.tappedoutwrestlingpodcast.com? That's where you'll find our browser links for all of our personal Twitters, Facebooks, all that. You'll find the link to Amazon, where you can purchase stuff there through our link. We get a kickback. The Fight app, you can buy all your indie wrestling all the way up to Ring of Honor right there. They give us a kickback. Go to Blue Apron, buy some food. Hey, guess what? Kickback there, too. There's a player down the center lets you listen to all the music. You can find the links to iTunes, Google Play, all those other places to listen to it, or just listen to it right there on your desktop. Subscribe. Big thing to do, guys. You got to subscribe. You get everything brand new. You like us on social media, Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast on Facebook. On Twitter, we're at Tapped Out Pod. And also, I'm at Myron the Mark T.O.P. on Twitter. Now, we are slowly starting to tease episodes on our various social media pages prior to them being released. So listen out there, folks. Get some great episodes. Let us know. Give us some feedback. TappedOutWrestlingPodcast@gmail.com. That's where you want to talk to us. www.TappedOutWrestlingPodcast.com. The greatest website in wrestling.